From the Census Bureau to the Office of Personnel Management, federal computer networks are under a daily barrage of cyber attacks. Both private groups and national governments try to obtain classified or sensitive information. Ron Ross is a fellow at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. He's also an internationally recognized cybersecurity expert and preeminent leader in helping the government keep its systems safe. Ron is one of 33 finalists for this year's Service to America medals. He told me more about his work.
Cybersecurity is a journey. It's a long process, and I think we have to take the long view of these problems. The problems we face today are very difficult and challenging, and there's no silver bullet. There's no single solution. So from we started this project back in 2003, you've seen a series of NIST standards and guidelines that have emerged, and we're working toward the ultimate solution. But it takes a while to get there. And sometimes I know it looks like we're taking a couple of steps forward and then one step back, but we're making forward progress, and that's always good news.
And those special publications that are so widely cited, what does it really take behind the scenes to produce one of those? Because they are lengthy and they're detailed, and yet the grammar is good and the writing is good and so forth. It looks like a big effort.
There's a lot of work that goes into all of our special pubs. First, we have a great team at NIST. They're very technically competent scientists and engineers. So there's a lot of technical analysis that goes into each one of these publications. But we also have to be able to take the fundamental concepts and the principles of cybersecurity and put them into the document in such a way that they're technically correct and also they're understandable for our customers. They can take the information and actually implement the guidance in an effective security program. So it takes a little bit of work to get that balance between the deep dive and then being able to communicate the results in an effective way.
Now, a long time ago, this was all called computer security, back when people would phish, phone lines and so forth, and it was all mainframe and proprietary architectures. And yet the same problems kind of persist into the internet age. What's your outlook? I mean, how do you feel there has been progress since the days when it was computer security?
Well, I think the striking thing to me is the technology, the explosion of technology over the past decade and how expansive it is and the networking and everything is connected. But at the heart of all of that, which also gives us great confidence that we're going to find good solutions for these problems, is the computer itself. And every computer, whether it's driving, the sensors or the safety things in your automobile, or whether it's in a power plant for, controlling the power grid, or a weapon system, or a financial institution, the computer is the common denominator. And every computer is driven by firmware and software. And so the quality of that software and how we build that software and how we put those computers and those systems together is really the heart of the problem that's going to give us the longer-term solutions. And so I think that's where you're going to see the NIST work is going to start to pivot and turn toward more of the architectural and engineering solutions, taking the best innovations that the private sector can give to us with regard to the technology, including the security technologies, and being able to put those together in a way that makes our systems more trustworthy and more resilient. That's a tall order, but we actually do know how to solve these problems because some of these basic concepts go back 40 years. And they've never changed. I call it the physics of computer security. The fundamentals never change. How we apply those in the new technologies for mobile or cloud may be a little bit different, but the fundamentals never change.
And we have not yet really had cyber Armageddon, as some have been warning for a lot of years. But on the other hand, the OPM breach and some of the other commercial sector breaches that have happened recently come pretty darn close. Do you feel that these have galvanized the federal government into being much more aware in a visceral way and not just giving lip service to the idea of implementing a lot of these controls that you have been advocating?
No, I can feel a sea change. I think the last few months have really, in my view, turned the corner. I mean, we've had cyber attacks for years, but I think now we're seeing the extent of what the adversaries are able to do to us if we don't defend ourselves. And I think it brings back some of the concepts that, of course, go to some of the NIST standards and guidelines, but it goes beyond that. We have to be able to do the fundamentals that are required in every organization to protect ourselves. I call it the blocking and tackling of cybersecurity. Some people refer to it as the basic hygiene of doing some of the basics of knowing what's on your network, the inventories, reducing the number of applications. The attack surface is the real problem. That complexity security is where the adversaries continue to do damage to us. So I think we have to kind of rethink the problem, go back to the basics. Let's execute the blocking and tackling of our business first. And then we can combine that with some other more sophisticated things that we can do, new technologies, new ideas, innovations that can help us layer on top of those fundamentals to really get that defense in depth that we need. It's not going to stop all attacks, but we have to be able to articulate a strategy that allows us to harden the target first. In other words, you put up the best defenses you possibly can. But knowing some of those may fail at some point in time, we have to be able to architect and engineer solutions that limit the damage the adversary can do once they get in. And then we have to make the systems resilient enough that we can live to fight another day tomorrow. So when you look at an attack like the OPM attack, if an attack happens, you would like to be able to limit what the adversaries can do once they're inside so they don't have the opportunity to navigate across many systems or go into an entire database and do great damage. Those things can be fixed with good architecture and good engineering. And that's what gives me, again, great hope that we're providing a discipline and a structure through the NIST standards and guidelines that, if implemented, can go a long way to reducing our susceptibility to these types of attacks.
We're speaking with Ron Ross. He's a fellow at the National Institute of Standards and Technology and a finalist in this year's Service to America Medals competition. And I guess what you're saying then is not only lock the house, but also put the guns in a safe inside the house.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have so many models in other types of things we do in our lives. I always talk about the safe deposit box as a metaphor for how we can protect our systems. We have to be able to do criticality analysis and looking at all of our assets and kind of sorting those things that rise to the top of being more sensitive, more critical, and then taking additional steps through architecture and engineering and just good application of the safeguards and countermeasures that we have defined in the NIST Special Publication 853, to take the right things out of that parts bin, implement those so that those assets that we think deserve greater protection actually have that greater protection and are safer from these kind of attacks.
All right, we are talking about the SAMMES finalists, and we have had so many interviews with you over the years as the new publications come out and new cybersecurity standards develop. But tell us a little bit more about Ron Ross, the man behind all of this.
Well, I think for me, I'm just very blessed to have a job where I just love getting up every day and doing the job that I do. It's a passion that grew over time, and I can't think of a better place to work. My colleagues at NIST, the organization, and the kind of work that we do, it's just very satisfying because we know the stakes are extremely high. I think when you look at where we are as a nation today and our complete dependence on information technology, for all the right reasons, we have great technology, we use it extensively. But with all of that innovation in the technology realm, there also comes great risk now in how we're using the technology to do our basic day-to-day operations and things that make our businesses successful. So to me, when you look at the long-term view, we cannot continue to sustain the types of cyber attacks that are bleeding the intellectual property from our great companies. All of that innovation, that intellectual property, those new designs, the new ideas, if those things are stolen from our companies, it becomes a clearly an economic security issue for the nation. And if some of those technologies that help the warfighters, for example, the next generation designs for an advanced tactical aircraft, if those kinds of design documents are stolen from our military during the development process, that starts to affect our national security interests as well. And so to me, it all comes back to one word, and this is what drives at least me personally, is the one word called freedom. I can see that if we don't fix some of the problems that we are seeing today, that there'll be a slow degradation in both our economic and our national security. And that eventually can have a great impact on the nation as a whole. And to me, freedom is what it's all about. I think about it every day. And I'm not sure a lot of folks who are in cybersecurity, they may not look at that in the same way I do. But to me, that's really what drives me every day.
And as a kid, were you one of those guys that played with Tandys and some of the early computers?
I did. I was actually a model rocket enthusiast. One of the things I talk about is in 1961, I go back quite a ways, and I was 10 years old in 1961. And President Kennedy had he made a speech at that time. We were in the Cold War in a missile race with the Soviet Union. And I remember the president came on and said, you know, we are going to go to the moon by the end of the decade and do other things, not because it is easy, but because it is hard. And that really inspired the nation. It inspired me. I've been a big fan of NASA ever since that time, even as a 10-year-old building model rockets. And I remember 8 years later, as I was a freshman, I was a plebe at West Point, and I remember 8 years from that famous speech, they woke us up at 2 o'clock in the morning and they marched us, all of us, all the cadets, there were 4,400 of us, they marched us at 2 o'clock in the morning to watch the first moon landing. It had a very big impact on me because what I saw in the president's vision in his speech, he inspired the nation. He brought together the best and the brightest in government, industry, and academia to solve a very important problem, national security problem. I think that, again, is what it's going to take to solve some of these very difficult and challenging cybersecurity problems, because we need industry's innovation, we need some leadership from government, and we certainly need all the young folks in the academic world who are studying the sciences, engineering, mathematics to come together and, you know, do it one more time for the United States of America. So I think that's kind of where I stand today.
I guess it's fair to say we've certainly had the cyber equivalent of Sputnik.
Well, yes, I think we've had enough warning signals. And again, we always come through when the chips are down. I mean, sometimes when it looks darkest out there after one of these really bad cyber attacks, sometimes it takes that to really galvanize and crystallize everybody to be focusing on the same problem. And I think that's certainly been happening of recent days. And, you know, all of our folks are working hard across the federal government, the security people and every agency. It's just an enormous problem. And I think it's going to take a little bit more effort, but we will get there long term.